Okay, so good morning, everyone. I hope you can hear me. So today I will talk about a quite rare developmental disease called odontodysplasia. It will be further classified and it will be further specified because we will only talk about the odontodysplasia, which happens to teeth where there was no trauma involved. So quite rare disease here. In the beginning, I immediately wanted to show you some pictures how this looks clinically. So you can see the first incisor on the left lower jaw looks a bit smaller, looks a bit different colored, and in general abnormal crown. The same here for the right upper canine tooth looks pretty abnormal, and this is what we call clinically already a dysplastic or odontodysplastic tooth. So let me go back to the beginning, if that's possible. So this study, it's a retrospective study. It was published this year in the Frontiers Veterinary Medicine Journal. It's a retrospective study, and there we are, where, as I already mentioned, they looked at non-trauma related odontodysplasia tooth, and they found this in 28 dogs, but we will see that, and they looked at the 10-year period. So in the introduction, they give us a bit of information how this has been previously described and also what is out there on the human literature. So as I already showed you on the images, so these teeth that typically look discolored, they are smaller, they have irregular surface contour, and some of them, or quite many of them, can be still partially erupted or still unerupted. On histology, you will see that the enamel and the dentine looks hypoplastic and also hypermineralized, and therefore this scarness of dental hard tissue will also often lead to reduced radiopacity. So on imaging, these teeth have been described as something like ghost teeth. We can or classify this odontodysplasia of being either regional or generalized. There's a bit of debate around there. What do we call regional and what is generalized? I will give you the definition, which is also in here. We will see it in the methods. And what we already also, or what has been published, but mostly by case reports on human sites, that it's more commonly affecting the maxillary teeth compared to mandibular teeth. Usually, if you see this condition, we will have history of trauma. But again, here we look at those cases when no such history was known. And well, that was helping. So we just look at the cases where, the dog stayed with the owners in California. They pretty much were sure that nothing like this happened. But of course, it's just retrospective, and it's also just what the owners were basically telling. So how was the study done? They looked at the medical records of the UC Davis Hospital in a 10-year period, so from 2013 to 2023. They were only including, obviously, these cases where they had nice description. They wanted to know the reason for presentation. They had to do either full mouth radiographs, CT, cone beam CT, or a combination of this. And they were classifying regional odontodysplasia if this condition was seen in one or two teeth and not more than three quadrants, and everything above this was considered generalized odontodysplasia. And let me just get this out of our way. And so if we look into the results, and I already mentioned, this is kind of truly a descriptive study. They only identified this condition in 28 dogs, so not that many. If you think that they have more than 2,000 properly documented cases which they looked at, and they saw it with the incidence of 1.4 per 100 dogs. They saw 22 dogs with regional odontodysplasia, and they had 6 dogs with generalized odontodysplasia. Then if we if we look at the regional, so first we will look at the regional odontodysplasia. As I've already mentioned, they had 22 dogs, and in total they had 41 affected teeth. And yeah, then they also give a bit of description how many teeth, but I don't think that's that important. And they already also give us the description of the clinical presentation. And I don't know why it's messing up like this. So they were sure that these dogs had no dental treatment before. They had mostly, they saw mostly Labrador and German Shepherds. And they also saw a bit of female overrepresentation there. But again, it's really small number of cases. But we will come back to this in the discussions. So if we look at the oral findings, they had a couple of dogs, so six with malocclusion. They had most of the lesions in the maxilla. They had mostly affected permanent teeth. There was only one dog where it was also affecting a deciduous tooth. Most of the cases, the reason for presentation was not related to the odontodysplasia. It was more, yeah, suspected periodontal disease, other stuff, draining tracts, stuff like this. And also, if we look at the oral findings, they were only able to see this disease in around 30% of the cases, so majority was missed on a vague examination. Then, if we look at diagnostic imaging, as I mentioned, it's either full mouth radiographs, Comim CT, CT, or combination. It's what I already mentioned in the introduction. So also on radiographs, you could see abnormal shaped teeth. Sometimes you couldn't even see roots. We will see some images later. And it looked like many of them had reduced radial density. Oops. And also they saw, yeah, what you can say, like unhappy pulp cavities. So some of the cavities seem to be larger than they should be, and some of them also seem to be obliterated. So that's what they saw radiographically. Yes. Ah. Yeah. And this is the heat map of the distribution of this disease. So I already mentioned it, mostly they saw it in the maxilla. We will also have a graph where you can see which teeth were commonly affected. And I already mentioned this before. So they also saw quite some teeth, which where they saw endodontal disease, or where they had perioendo lesions, or severe periodontal disease, or at least moderate periodontal disease. And also they had a dog where a tooth was still in the nose, and this dog was presented with some rhinitis. And this is what they would call secondary disease to this condition. And on histology, so what they saw there was irregular islands and base of dentine. They also saw this what is called like hypermineralization. So the dentine was not regularly formed. And I already mentioned it that in some cases where they also suspected pulp obliteration, they also saw some cement osseous matrix embedded in the in this space. Then for treatment and follow-up, so all teeth where they had signs of secondary disease, they were extracted, so they were not doing anything else with these teeth. And when the teeth were not extracted, the owners were advised to have close follow-up, and that meant usually they would recommend a yearly checkup. Of course, like always, not all, and sorry for the cases where they extracted tooth, everything kind of went well. They had no major complications. One case had a bit of wound healing issues, but it got everything got well at the end, and I think that's yeah, that was not they said it in discussion. They don't think that it's something which we where we can't extract those teeth. And yeah, I was mentioning it or wanted to talk about it. So only from the five cases where they didn't extract odontodysplastic teeth, only two showed up for follow-up. And one of these cases developed severe periodontal disease on the odontoplastic tooth. So yeah, we might be careful with these because, or we should at least how they described it here, have close follow-up on these because they can still turn bad even if they first look okay. And then just quickly, if we look at generalized odontodysplasia, yeah, they saw it in six dogs. And here it's also females a bit or heavily overrepresented, but only six cases. So probably we have to be careful with this. It's pretty much the same thing when we look at the findings and also at the imaging and histology, like with the regional. But as I said, it's when you see it in more than two teeth in more than three quadrants. And here you can see, I already showed you this image before, this photograph. So again, smaller tooth, discolored tooth, abnormal shape. And also on imaging, the same thing. You can see abnormal shape teeth. You can see how weird the root looks, how short the root looks sometimes here. I mean, the picture is probably also built foreshortened, but still you can see there's not much root there. And yes, so it's kind of the same thing between generalized and regional odontodysplasia when we're talking about these type of things. And interestingly, they also in the generalized form, they also had one dog. It also went for combium CT, where they said the whole skull bones looked like it had decreased trabecular density. So they were saying it kind of fits some trabecular sclerosis. Okay. And here we have the histology images. So this is how it should look. And here you can see some example with different magnification, how abnormal these teeth looked. But now that we're coming to the discussion, the problem also with histology on these teeth, you see how abnormally shaped they are. So therefore, it's not easy to obtain pulp from there and to do good histology. And also, I mentioned some of the canals look more narrow, some look obliterated, and that all makes it difficult to have good, good histology on them. And so, unfortunately, this study is not really giving us an answer why these teeth or why this happens when there's no trauma. Trauma still remains to be the main reason. As we saw here, it's only really, we see not many cases with this condition, but still we see it from time to time. And what they kind of highlighted in the discussion is you saw it was like worse with the regional one where you miss like almost 60, 70 or 70% of cases just by clinical exam. Also, the main reason of complaint was usually not related to this condition. So yeah, again, justifying full examination and also imaging. They're also talking about that this disease is kind of, or the what happens to the tooth there, the abnormal anatomy, the irregular surface, all of this, the hypercalcification will encourage plaque and calculus deposition and makes it prone to periodontal disease. Also, it's probably prone to fracture. So these teeth, yeah, we should definitely monitor them. And here you can also see clinical pictures, how they look. So again, a bit smaller on radiographs sometimes. I mean, this is probably a nice image why they sometimes referred as ghost teeth, because you can't really see much of the root there anymore. And also, they're talking at how these are handled in humans. In humans, I've already mentioned it, there's mostly case reports, and mostly they would also go for extractions on them, but there have already also been some cases when the tooth was cut partially off, non-erupted, that they would orthodontically pull it out, and then they could also do it's also for extraction that they would do some prosthetic treatment afterwards. So pretty similar, to be honest, when it comes to treatment options, but we wouldn't really do really orthodontic treatment to take them out. And then further in the discussion, or almost at the end, they're also talking about that it's probably, since also they had this one dog where it went bad after follow-up, that it's probably okay to be like a bit more aggressive when it comes to treatment, because animals are doing, like, we have minimal aesthetic needs. There's not much of dental drifting after tooth is extracted. We all have this problem that sometimes owners are not coming back, so we will lose them on follow-up. So they're at least we should be careful when it comes to conservative treatment on these teeth, so probably a bit more aggressive, a bit more, or it's probably justified to extract them when we have the slightest doubt if they are okay. We don't really know why, but also here they saw female predilection. It's the same what has been described on the human side. We can't really give an answer why it is like this. And also maxilla seems to be more commonly affected. There have been, so I mentioned it, we don't know yet what is causing it. At this point, we can probably consider it idiopathic. There have been several factors postulated. So we sometimes see it after fractures, which is more what I mentioned, more like trauma. We can see it after local infection. Some drugs can do this, irradiation, fever, diseases, metabolic disorders, deficiency, and some viruses. We all probably know that we see, for example, animal dysplasia or hypoplasia, or generalized hypoplasia in dogs which had distemper virus infection. And also here, a whole subgroup was affected by distemper virus. And they were not included in this case because it was badly or poorly documented, but they also saw in histology that distemper virus can infiltrate basically the amyloblast and therefore also the enamel in teeth. And so this is a possible factor in it, but it doesn't seem to be like the only cause for this. So they are concluding that it's probably some multifactorial disease, and all of these mentioned possibilities can contribute to a tooth becoming odontodysplastic. So yes, again, just a little bit of descriptive study, again, highlighting the importance of imaging and full examination, and again, highlighting the need for more investigation. And also, I think it's still nice if people are collecting cases and writing a bit about it, because I think, if you're doing dentistry, you will see some teeth like this, and it, again, helps us to do better evidence based medicine and how to approach them, what to do with them. So here, as I said, they're not really fans for restorations or conservative treatment. They would pretty much go for extractions, and also for the owner it's justifiable to say, these usually, they are really prone to develop periodontal disease as the most common problem what happens to these teeth. So it's not only aesthetics. Okay, and that's it. I hope. Sorry, I had some struggle with the monitor. Everything was, I couldn't really see most of the slides, but I hope it was okay. If there are no questions, I hope you could hear me at all. And I wish everyone a good day and a nice week, and see you next time. Goodbye.